Now, workplace gossiping, or so-called water cooler talk, may be the bane of an employer's existence, but new research papers have suggested that managers could actually harness it for their advantage. This morning, we're joined by Associate Professor Andrew Waite from the School of Economics at the University of Sydney to discuss how idle gossiping and informal interactions may be more important to office culture and productivity than previously believed. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, what do we mean when we talk about kind of that water cooler talk in a workplace? Exactly what are we referring to?
Well, it's just sort of the informal interactions workers have, maybe around the coffee machine, in the lunchroom, sort of between meetings, or even, you know, it's sort of workplace sort of social events, maybe sort of semi-formal sort of interactions outside. But it's really where there's no formal agenda, where the workers can, you know, maybe they're talking about what they did on the weekend, but then things will tend to drift to, you know, what's going on in the workplace as well.
And how can this be harnessed for a company's advantage?
Well, there's a sort of an innate sort of desire or sort of ability to collaborate. And we see this research has shown this in kids as young as 14 months. So we do want to collaborate, you know, when it's in our sort of mutual interests. And so by having these informal interactions, it allows for basically a forum for people to say, well, you know, what are you doing? You know, this is what I'm doing. This is what I intend to do. And so it allows you to, you know, share your intentions about the project or about what you think's right. And then from that, you know, the workers can get together and work jointly. They can sort of say, well, this is what is going to work best, or this is how the project should be structured, or this is a great new idea, maybe we should work on that. And so that's how the employees can harness that sort of informal communication allows for collaboration, and then it allows for sort of, in a sense, a productive outcome to come from that naturally.
Is there also an element, I guess, of building trust and building rapport with fellow employees outside of a project?
I think that that's a very strong part of it. That is that you know, we didn't model it formally as trust, but you could think of it as a sort of trusting situation. So if you think of that, you can do what you always did, you know, and that's the sort of the conservative approach, or you can sort of take on a bit of a risk and take on a risky project, do something new, and it's that taking on that risky project that you don't really want to do on your own. But if you can get together with your colleagues and say, look, this will work, we should really try this innovation, that's just sort of the focus of our research, is we can innovate together and it's going to really work. And then if your fellow employees say, yeah, I'm on board, and you can sort of, I suppose, build that rapport around the water cooler, then you'll be willing to take it on, and then that naturally sort of flows into a more productive outcome for the firm.
Absolutely, that encouragement of collaboration, as you were saying.
Yeah, perfect, yeah.
How do employers encourage more of this collaboration, more of this kind of water cooler talk that leads to creativity and productivity?
Well, we sort of think that there are sort of various factors that can help this. So the first would be communication is easier in small groups, and communication, through a critical number of people, or so they'd say, the whole team, is easier in a small group, because basically you can fit around the coffee machine at the same time, maybe you have lunch at the same time, or maybe your offices or your workstations are all located together. So small teams, other things equal, tend to be more innovative than larger teams, in which that communication is harder amongst a critical number of the team. So small teams is a way of doing it. So if a firm is very keen, or business is very, very keen on having innovation, it's an important part of their strategy, then small teams are important. We do see that even in large organisations. They want to have their research teams, their teams involved in developing new products. Often they actually have them as being small units, small teams within the large organisation.
Now, could there be any downsides to encouraging this type of communication? Is there any way that companies, or any risks, I should say, that companies need to be managing or taking into consideration when encouraging this type of workflow?
I think that it's, you know, there's never a one size, rather, fits all policy in this sort of thing or approach. If a business really just would like a conservative strategy, you know, they would just like to keep things going as they are, then there's not really so much need to encourage this sort of communication and then hence collaboration in this sense. And so then there's not really the need to try to get these, you know, little water cooler chats or other chats, collaborations going. It's more when innovation is very important. So I suppose it's what's the firm's sort of business strategy, and then sort of thinking about the structures in the organisation that are appropriate for that strategy.
Well, it's all really interesting stuff there, Andrew. I think it's very intuitive as well when people are able to come together and able to collaborate and able to have those discussions. Lots of good work happens, and then you've got happier employees, and happier employees work better.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us this morning and for teaching us a little bit.
Don't worry, thank you.
That was Associate Professor Andrew Waite from the School of Economics at the University of Sydney talking to us about the link between water cooler talk and office productivity.